This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
Hey, we are talking about some of the interesting developments that we've been hearing coming out of the Brian Koberger accusations of murder in Idaho. To discuss that, we have Lori Gilbertson, a former prosecutor. And I really want to get your take on this from the perspective of a former prosecutor. On the outside, and those of us who haven't been prosecutors or work all that much in the world of law, we hear these things of, oh my goodness, there's this Brady material that involves an officer, and some of the verbiage very dark, almost of like, well, this could exonerate someone. There's that. There's some questions going around, or speculation, I should say, about the knife sheath, how one lab couldn't find the DNA on it, yet another could find a specific type of DNA on it. Can you speak to that? Are these curveballs, or are these just kind of a lot of, they make good headlines, but really don't play a huge role in the actual prosecution of Brian Koberger?
I don't really see them as curveballs from a prosecutor's standpoint. And in terms of, you know, I'll tackle the Brady information first.
Yeah.
You know, it is so important as a prosecutor to turn over all Brady information. I mean, there are no ifs, ands, buts about it. It is your duty at all times to be on the lookout for it and to turn it over. So it looks like here, they do have the investigation into this officer. We don't really have a whole lot of details on that. That hasn't really come out, and it may not come out. It may not even come out until trial if that officer testifies and he's cross-examined on it. So, you know, this is usual. This is what you have to turn over as a prosecutor, or else you would not be doing your ethical duty and your legal duty of making sure the defense has all the information that they are entitled to under the law and that they need to have. And in terms of Brady information, as a prosecutor, my personal philosophy was you turn over more. You know, you turn over everything you have, of course, and if there is a doubt about it, you turn it over. So I don't see this as anything that's a curveball. I think that in a case like this, you know, as Tony, the information kind of trickles out and we start to hear things, everything is going to be a point of speculation.
Sure.
So this is usual. It really is. It can sound a little maybe salacious, or it sounds interesting, or there's a huge issue. But so far, you know, without having any real details on this, it does not seem to be one.
Well,
Go ahead.
One of the things that I think catches the interest of the public in some of the verbiage is with the Brady information, it's very generic. It's kind of boilerplate mm-hmm. language of, this, it could be information that could exonerate the individual in question. I mean, I get kind of the legalese of it, but it sounds like, oh my gosh, maybe there's something here that proves he didn't do it. I mean, should that be interpreted that literal, or is it more so could be exonerated because there could be simply a misstep or something that was done in terms of the officer that, in terms of technicalities, could end up exonerating the person, but not necessarily evidence-wise. There's some massive chunk here that he's holding that would exonerate him.
Right. And the standard with Brady material doesn't even have to be as high as it would exonerate him and go to that level. It's anything that tends to affect any doubt whatsoever on the defendant's guilt in the case. So it doesn't have to rise to the level that this is something that would exonerate him if it is presented at trial. It is just anything that would tend to cast any doubt whatsoever on the defendant's guilt. So, you know, that with that being the standard, you know, anything that is going to affect the credibility of a witness technically falls under Brady material. So here, it's not that this internal investigation against this police officer, if revealed, would tend to exonerate Brian Koberger. It's that it could tend to cast some doubt on his guilt or his innocence in the case. And so therefore it's turned over. It's just one thing that goes into, you know, kind of a whole, you know, a whole trove of evidence that mm-hmm. the defense will have to really be able to make their case.
For some perspective, can you give an example of something like that? Obviously we don't know what that is in this case, But some examples of that in other cases that you've seen, so people can better understand what that may or may not be.
Sure. Let's say you have a witness in a robbery case. And when the witness came to initially report the robbery, they gave a statement about what happened. Mm-hmm. And then the witness goes into the grand jury and the witness tells a different story about what happened. And then maybe the witness talks to police officers again and tells a different story about what happened. The fact that there are three inconsistent stories doesn't necessarily mean that the person on trial didn't do it, but it might tend to affect a jury's expectation of their guilt or their innocence and how a jury or a judge is going to deliberate on it. So that would be Brady material. If a prosecutor did not turn over all those varying statements, mm-hmm. that prosecutor would be in error and in violation of Brady. Another thing, Tony, could be witness identification. Let's say a witness in a case identifies someone as having been the perpetrator of a crime. And then let's say they say at the point, well, it kind of looks like him, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But I think it's him. And the police go ahead and say, well, that's a positive ID. What the witness said when identifying is absolutely Brady material, because that would tend to possibly cast some doubt on that defendant's guilt or on that defendant's guilt in the trial. And those are some examples of some Brady material.
And those are examples where they're good. They're outside mm-hmm. their witnesses. When we're talking police, I know police can also be witnesses in this. Because I think that almost like puts it to another level of I think almost seriousness, because somebody thinks, oh, an officer involved in the actual investigation in some way, shape or form may have mm-hmm. some sort of Brady material. Could it be as simple as almost like what you just described, where one yep. said one thing another place, another said mm-hmm. it later, maybe misspoke, maybe, you know, people just tend to describe things differently sometimes. Could yep. it be as simple as that in the terms of the officer? And does it have to have something to do with this case? Could there be something where an officer involved maybe in the past has misspoke or misrepresented something, or willfully misrepresented something, and is on this case, and they realize, well, this could be brought up. You know, why should we trust this person in this case to be accurate when we know over here that they weren't?
Yeah, that, I mean, you really have kind of exactly explained it very well, Tony. Yes, okay. That's what it is. It's going to go to an officer's credibility, even if it is not having to do with this particular case. And, you know, it makes me think of, I'm going to go way, way back to an extremely controversial case, to the O.J. Simpson case.
Sure.
And Detective Mark Furman testifying mm-hmm. and all sorts of things brought up about words he used in the past that may have affected how he looked at this case, investigations into him in the past that might affect his credibility in that case. Mm-hmm. So that, of course, were, you know, a bit of a bombshell, you know, in that trial,
yeah.
But those were not things that had at all to do with his actions. When you look at them just very specifically that he took, they were not things that really arose out of the O.J. Simpson case in particular. So yes, it can certainly be things, you know, that have arisen out of other cases that would tend to affect the credibility of the witness in this case, and therefore affect what a trier of fact would look at when deciding if the person on trial is guilty or not.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Laura Gilbertson, thank you for your insight. Former prosecutor, always a pleasure to hear your voice and the insight that you bring to the table. If you like the show, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on the cases we are following for you right here. You can get an ad-free version of it when you subscribe through Apple Podcasts. You can try it for 3 days free today. Go check that out. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.